I'm talking with Fred and Olive Long and about Rossi's history. Now, Mr. Long, you were a golf caddy, is that was your definition? Yes. And what exactly was involved in what you did, and where did you caddy?
Down at Riverside.
Mm-hmm.
And you just carry the bag along for the man that's playing golf.
I see.
And if the balls went in the woods, I had to go and find it, you see.
What years did you caddy? Can you recall the year it was, or how old you were about then?
Oh, maybe 14 or 15. I lived at Fairvale at the time.
Did you?
Yeah.
I see.
That would be about
1922. Now, you were a post office girl. What was your job entailed? I guess that was your first job.
Yes, my first job. I was offered it by the postmaster who owned the grocery store on the corner.
What was his name?
And the post, Mr. Merritt.
I see.
And the post office was in the store. My duties were doing the bookkeeping of the store, you know, mm-hmm. the charge accounts, which you had in that day. You don't charge anything today in grocery stores, but you did then.
I see.
And the bills were made up every month, and I had to do the daily accounting and sort mail, sell stamps.
Oh, I see.
Readdress mail and things like that.
Great. Now, what years would that have been that you had done that?
Oh, now you're asking me that. I was 16 when I was in there. Let me see. About 1926.
And that was the Rossi post office.
25 or 26, Rossi post office.
Was it called that at the time?
Well, I guess so, because that's the only post office there was there, and the mail came out. They went down to the trains, and they threw the bags off the train.
Oh, great.
And they were brought up to the post office and sorted there. And then you had to get the mail ready for the day, and you had to know which was going east and which was going west, and put your mail in the right packages, and it went into St. John and was sent out from there.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
How has the Rossi post office changed in any way? Besides, has the post office changed like in...
Has it changed?
In many ways?
I should say, after that, they had a building moved on the property back of the store, and the post office was in that for a while, and then they built the Rossi post office up just across from near the church here at Rossi.
I see.
And, of course, that's a big addition.
Now, how many people about... were attending the post office at the time.
I
like, how many people
then
in the area?
There would only probably be about 400 or 500 people. We had rural mails that went out to Golden Grove and Quispamsis and places like that, you know, in Fairvale and across the river. But in the town of Rossi, I suppose maybe there were only about 400 or 500 people if there were that many, which I think the boundaries ran pretty much the same as they are today of the town of Rossi.
Well, I see. Okay. I want to ask both of you what you can put into. The general store, where was it located? What years was it running about?
The general store was on the corner between the old Hampton Road and the Gondola Point Road. And across the road was the Diggle store, but with the post office in this one. And in Mr. Robertson's store then, and then Mr. Merritt took it over after that. And they had a horse and cart that went out and delivered one morning. In the morning it would go in one direction, and the next time it would go into Fairvale and went as far as Fairvale to lots of people and back, and people could order anything from yeast cake to loaf of bread and have it delivered, but not today.
No, you couldn't do that.
You had to work hard to get your groceries today.
Yes.
People phone up on the phone and take the orders down, and they would deliver them for them.
Oh, wow. What were some of the local sports that was involved with the areas around here? Like,
well, I think mostly school sports then. You see, Rossi College and Netherwood, and the Rossi Consolidated School, it was called then, and they would have football games and hockey games and lots of skating on the rink over there, where we'd go and skate all hours of the night and forget our schooling.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, do you have any memories of the people around the area? Like, okay, you said there were a lot of boys from the RCS brought in around this area.
Oh, yes, they were all in the Netherwood girls and the Rossies, and the RCS boys would come down to church every Sunday, and of course we'd all go to church, you know, to see the boys.
Putting on your Sunday best.
Right.
I see. What were the people like back then compared to now?
Well, I think they were, you know, that let's say, people are always people, but I think then there were a lot of summer people that came to Rossi, which you never got to know, really. They, you know, they just came out for to the park in the summertime, and then they'd go back to town for their winters. And a lot of people around the neighborhood, and I think today the people in the town are far more friendly than they were years ago. And I think that, I don't know, having grown up here, I think it's still a very wonderful place to live.
Yes, it's a very pretty place.
Yes, it certainly is.
It was one of the, I like to get the impression, it was one of the wealthier places in Canada.
Well, I think a lot of the people from the city who had businesses like the Manchester Roberts and Allison, those people, the Allisons and all those, they built their homes out here and came out and, you know, and I think since then it has grown quite a big as people working in the city live out here. But yes, I think there were then, which was wealth in those days anyway.
I see. Now I'm going to ask you about some names that were quite well known around the area a few years back. The troops, first of all, you said, could you tell me where they lived and a little bit about them?
From what I can remember, I could be wrong, but I'm just hearing this. My father was a great one for taking up history and things like that. And the troop house was, I think, where Lowood is. At least the whites who came after them. But the troops, I think that was their summer house, if I remember rightly. And I think the troops were shipbuilders in the city.
Oh, so that was their...
That's just what I can remember from my mother and father talking in their old times.
But yes, that's what I have on them. What about the Millers? They've been here for quite a while, haven't
Millers?
They? Yes.
George Miller family?
Yes, and I believe so.
Well, they were my next-door neighbor for a while. The children were all growing up, but now they have moved down onto the corner down there. And Betty's still running her beauty parlor. And they were a large family of them, and they've all grown up. And one son was lost overseas.
Harry Miller?
Yeah.
Is that
and sweet? The one son became the police chief here.
That's Harry Miller.
Right, and Betty the hairdresser.
Mm-hmm. And so every one of those became quite, they all pretty much stayed with
worked
the,
around, and
the,
yes,
important
and
to the
Arthur,
village.
Of course, has a lot of, yeah, of real estate.
Where he's the Miller's apartments, is that
yes,
what
he owns the Miller's apartments.
Where is that?
In Fairvale. They're in Fairvale.
Yeah. Okay. Renshaw, do you remember that?
The Renshaws, yes, they lived down at Riverside. They were out of Rossi, they lived in Riverside. And the mother and the father died young, and I think there were just two boys. And one boy is still living at Quispam Sis.
I see.
But other than that, I don't, just knowing the boys from around the town, I don't know their family too well.
Okay. Do you know of the Dobbins? Dobbin,
John Dobbins, yes, they lived up the road here, and they had three sons anyway who went overseas, and all came back luckily, and that was that immediate family. There are still, his widow is still living up here on the Roehampton Road, and the one boy is living at Gondola Point and a girl in Fairvale. And one daughter lives next door to the mother. And for years there was John, Norman, John, and Reg. And John's, the mother lived and father lived right on the corner of the road where the Irving Station is now.
The Mar Road?
Yes, on the Mar Road.
Okay. Carpenters is another name.
Yes, they were another big family. In those days, they had big families. There was eight in our family.
The mom family had eight.
In
wow.
Kirkpatrick's.
Oh,
my
you
name
were
was Kirkpatrick
previously.
Yes.
That was your name.
And that was my maiden name. And the Carpenters lived out here. We called the Dam Road. Now that was D-A-M. I'm not swearing.
Okay.
That supplies the water to Rossi. Oh, so it's been a very famous dam.
It did supply water to Rossi.
Yes, it still is.
What is the road called now?
It's Grove Avenue. Oh, they changed that after
yes,
years.
I
used to work election. I used to have a hard time getting back to these names they put on. Alexander Street, which used to be Sandy Beach, and Dam Road. Now it's Grove Avenue.
Okay. Do you know about the Saunders? Have you ever heard of that name?
Well, the Saunders are for Gondola Point people.
Were they?
They weren't really Rossi people.
Okay. What about the Scribners?
The Scribners lived out here on the Dam Road also.
They did.
There was Arnold and Anthony, and they both had families and there, and some of their descendants are still living around here, like me.
Like you?
Yeah.
Okay. What about the Kennedys now? I'm sure you've heard
of
Arthur
Kennedy. Oh, yes, the good
Kennedy.
Old Kennedy house. That was where all the Rossi people came, and a good many of them, and they'd sit on the veranda at night and, you know, rock in the old rocking chairs. And my first experience of it was, and I was in grade 8, I think, a lady in Rossi asked me to go down and take care of her grandchild. They were there visiting for the summer, and they asked me to look after the little boy. So I used to go down there and look after him. And Mrs. Kennedy was still living then, and she was quite a character.
Oh, was she?
So she came up, was upstairs, and she asked me to go down and find Arthur. And I said, well, I don't know where Arthur is, and I wouldn't know where to find him. And she says, was your mother ever let you out alone?
So she was quite a character, was she?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah, and it was quite the center of the village there between that and the store for a good many years. So.
What can you tell me things about, like, maybe physical characteristics of the 9 Mile Kennedy house? Or, like, I believe it was 3 stories, is that correct?
It was about 3 stories. I think it had an attic above the 3 stories.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a big dining room in it. And on the back part of the house was the first telephone exchange.
Oh, really?
There. Yes.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
And Carrie Williams was there for years, and Maud Pierce, so, yes, they're long gone. But that's where all the phone messages went through for years.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Do you recall what year the phone started really coming into Rothley? Was that the...
When they first came in? No, I wouldn't remember
that.
I think likely...
About?
Oh, I imagine around in the 19, with the, during the war years, likely 19. Maybe a little before that, there could have been some people that had them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
I see. Okay. Do you know anything of the Olin family?
Olin families? No, they were city people who came out here finally to live, and I don't know too much about them.
What about?
Other than that brewery.
Oh, yes, well, we all. Well,
yeah,
well,
everybody knows that.
What about the Steeles? I'm sure you.
Mrs. Steele was Mr. Kennedy, who owned the Kennedy house.
Oh,
she was his daughter.
Oh.
And she had a big family, and her husband died very young, and she brought up, I think, eight or some. Some of them still living in Rossi.
Yes.
And she used to collect taxes for years, because I can remember paying my father's taxes of $35. And there are $18 more than that now, I can tell you.
Sure is. Much more expensive.
Yeah. In those days, he had barns and animals here, and you were registered as a farm.
Oh, I see.
So your taxes, I think, were a little bit better. Sorry, I didn't keep a few pigs and horses.
Yeah, too bad. Okay. Well, we've pretty much hit on the names. I left out a very important one, the Crosbys. Do you know very much about them?
Well, I remember Mr. Crosby was the mayor here for quite a few years, and always a very active man in the community. And that's about all I know about him outside the Crosby molasses. Everybody liked their molasses.
That's right.
And,
okay. Now, after hitting on the names of some of the important names, I'm probably missed quite a few. But what about any local scandals or quirky things that happened in Rossi that you can remember?
Oh, my goodness. I just can't remember a lot of scandals. Probably I break back to them. I might, but I don't think there was that many scandals in Rossi.
No, there weren't any.
Or murders or anything like that.
I see.
I just don't remember that too much. I started my days down near the... I was born up here in the K House, and then when my father built this, if it's of any interest to you,
it
was building
is.
This house, why we went down across the track to live in a little cottage.
Oh, I see.
And I used to spend a good many of my days over in the station there with Ting Peters, who was the first fellow I remember. And he didn't like my name, so he called me Sarah Jane. He didn't like Olive for a name.
He didn't like Olive.
So he called me Sarah Jane.
There you go. Can you recall any significant happenings in Rosse that changed Rosse quite a bit? Now, I know the station house and the railway was one, obviously, very major.
Oh, yes, they left, yeah.
It made Rosse increase and expand quite
well,
large.
I think that's where the railways did. They were the connecting link between so many places. And the big thing in those days was go down to see the 4 to 6 train come in. Everybody came from their offices and all their papers came there, and if you bought things in town, they were all delivered there, the express. So that station was really a focal point, as well as your church and store.
Yes, it must be quite bustling.
So that's why I feel today, if they're going to take trains and everything, you know, they call it progress, but we used to have buses and trains and everything. Now we've got nothing. Unless you've got a car, you can't get anywhere.
Into the in-town, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Yes. Church stories or things of the church now, which church did you go to?
I belong to St. Paul's, and I've always have. Canon Daniel christened me.
I see.
And I sang in the choir there, and I
were
things with Mr. Markham when he was here as the minister. And yes, I've gone all my life to that church.
Can you tell me anything, like maybe about, I don't know, to the population increase, to unique things, maybe special things the church has received that didn't have beforehand? Anything interesting about the church that you feel it should be added?
Well, I think the chimes on the church and the clock and things that the Mackays put in as memorials, I think they enhanced it a lot. And other than that, the building hasn't changed that much, only been remodeled these last few years, which cost a lot of money.
I imagine
it's
it
not
did.
Like years ago when everybody pitched in and helped do things. Nowadays you have to have a contractor do everything, and carpenters and electricians, because you're not allowed to do those things. So it did run into a lot of money, but it certainly made it more comfortable and all. And, you know, Canon Daniel was a great old minister here for years. I remember my sister saying about they used to go to different houses when they were having confirmation classes. And she went up to Fairvale to a confirmation class, and she was walking home with a boyfriend, and Canon Daniel says, "Ruth, does your mother know you're out?" We've never let her that die down.
She must be terribly embarrassed.
Yes.
Rossi's changed in many ways. There's a lot of stories about the Kenneth Case's Sporting Goods. It used to be a place called Rosedale, I believe. It was an auction
place.
Well,
there was a little place like between, what would you call it, between the Rosse and Quispam Sis that didn't have a name, so they just kind of put this Rosedale name on it.
Oh, so it was
whether
the
they
area,
named it
name.
After somebody's child, or whether it was just the area between here on the Hampton Road, between Rosse and Quispam Sis.
So that was the area's name.
Yes, well,
the
then
building.
In later years, you see, Fairvale was always over on the Gondola Point Road. But then they changed the lines and brought Fairvale through, so it now goes to Mackay Highway, and that's Fairvale between Rosse and Quispam Sis now, instead of this Rosedale,
I
think is a better name for it.
Good, I'm glad you approve of it. did you ever go to that theater or auction down there?
The theater auctions? Yes,
yes,
we used to.
What? I guess the auctioneer was quite a character.
Mr. McCauley?
Is that was his
yes,
name?
Yes, Mr. McCauley.
He was quite the character.
Yeah.
I
genuine old. That's what...
genuine old, as he said.
He'd always say, it's genuine old, Mr. McCauley. Yeah.
Oh, did he?
Yes, you have some great ones. And then the theater, and of course, when the theater first started, that was great, you know, we just loved that. But then there was an unfortunate accident up the road here with a little girl who was some boys attacked one time, and that wasn't so good. Mm-hmm. Finally, I fought with the town of Rosse to get lights put up the road so that there wouldn't be so dark and dangerous for young people walking the roads. And eventually we got the sidewalks, which were a great help.
Yes, Rosse.
Yeah.
Rosse
was very, very, very good, and they try to... You know,
oh, yes, they look after us. We have some good workers on the village, and they just really look after us here.
Yes.
Snow plowing and everything else.
Yes, they try to meet your needs very well. What about the occupations? How have the occupation times varied? Like now you'll receive a lot of occupations in the area. But back maybe when you were younger, teens or child age, What were the main occupations of
the
area?
Well, I think a lot of people were like my father. They worked around the village and did things like that, and like the scriveners and the carpenters and all them, they worked. There was the filling stations and things like that, but a good many of them just did laboring work. But today it's pretty hard to get a laborer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a shoemaker down there. When
yeah,
you came
along. Used to be a shoemaker, yeah.
There were a lot of lumbering and shipping.
Well, the Mackays were lumber people, you see, mm-hmm. and that, and they did lumbering and that. But I mean, right here in the town, as they always called this, the bedroom community, I think, for St. John.
Oh, I see.
Outside of the few people who made their homes all year round here, why, the rest of them just finally they found it was such a good place to live. Now they're out everywhere here.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
And St. John are unhappy about it.
Yes, they've lost a lot of their population to Rustic. Mm-hmm. What about elections? Is there any particular
election? Oh, I used
election?
To work elections. I always enjoyed that.
Now, what did you do for elections?
Well, we always had to meet down at Mr. Fairweather's house, Gordon Fairweather. I worked for him, and we'd meet at his house and go over the lists, make sure we knew everybody on the lists and things. And then I would go down here to the school when they had the elections in the school.
Did they?
And I would, more or less perhaps just opening the door and letting people come in and marking off their names, much the same as it is today. But I think it was more interesting in those days. And I can remember one day being outside the school, and I was working for one party, and the opposite party came up and wanted to shake hands with him. She says, "No, we're enemies today. We don't shake hands today."
Oh, my. So election was a quite strong feeling.
Oh, yes, there used to be some great old times, I'm telling you. But
what did elections bring around besides friendships? Any dances or things like...
Well, not
community
not,
activities?
Well, they have their tennis courts and the boat club at Rossi mostly, and Riverside Golf. But I mean, as far as that, I still feel that there should be something here for the young people, you know, of the village to go to. That when they're out of school, you know, your school, and they have a rink over here that perhaps it could be used for that. But it's most every other community, and I'm thinking every other town in New Brunswick, I think, has a senior residence but Rossi. And I think it's time they began to think of one.
Oh, there you
for
go.
The people who
suggestion.
Have lived here all their life would like to stay in Rossi.
Yeah. Was Rossi mostly conservative or liberal, or was it a good
split? Oh, conservatives, King County, naturally.
They were very conservative.
King's County were conservatives, yes. 99%. Yeah, that's what they all would
feel. Oh, wow.
Yes, it's a big...
So conservative was the idea of that time.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it was because we knew the boys that were running for it. You see, we knew Mr. Mackay, you knew Mr. Fairweather, you knew Mr. Foster when he, Walter Foster, when he, I remember my father saying that the only time he ever voted liberal was when Walter Foster, and he thought he was such a fine person, that's the young Walter Foster, mm-hmm. and then he said, I think he's such a fine person, I'll give him my vote. And I think that's the way it should be, that you give your vote to the person you think can best do the job.
That's good. Were there any particular characters in the election, like scandals in the elections, like, oh, they did something really preposterous or anything along that line?
Well, I can remember one day there was this liberal lady working with me in the hallway. And as we were working there, and she was a great one for talking to everybody, you know, didn't matter who she talked to, she had to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And she was standing under this liberal picture, and the picture fell down, and I said, "There, you see, that's what's going to happen to you today."
Oh, my. So there's a lot of controversy, I can see. Okay. What about depressions? How did Rossi bear the depression? Do you remember?
Depression years. I suppose like everybody else. I mean, I grew up in a family that we really didn't have all, you know, we never were hungry or anything else, but depressions were, I can imagine there were a lot of people, but I don't think in this community probably there were that many affected by it. Among the outlying districts there might have been,
mm-hmm.
you know, perhaps out of work and different things like that, but I just don't remember the effect of it too much. But
mm-hmm.
We hope there wouldn't be another.
Oh, don't we? Yes, I hope so, too. What about wartime stories? Is there any stories
wartime
about
stories?
War?
Yes, I can tell you very one in our own family. My brother went over, and he's only 18, with the 26th Battalion. And my mother was very upset about that, of course. And they went in to see the boats go and everything. And then I can just remember going down to see my father go off in 1916. And, of course, he was an Army man in his younger days, and he wanted to get back into it. And our house wasn't finished, and we had just been building it when he went away. And I had a brother, Pat, and Irving and I, who were living here and going to school. And one morning, going to school after a big windstorm, there was a wires knocked down on across from the Tilly House on the Hampton Road. And my brother walked over and picked up the wire and was killed.
Oh, dear.
And that left us very, in a very much of a mess, only we had some very good friends in Rossi. Bill Fewelling at the store and Mr. J.R. Robertson and them all, they were simply wonderful to us that winter. They'd come up and cut wood and do things, and because we were a family of women, my mother and a couple of sisters, and mm-hmm. we were just children going to school. But I can remember my mother saying that Pat, when he went down to the see the train pull out with his father on, went behind the station and cried. He didn't want his father to see him. Mm-hmm. And of course, he wasn't here when my father came back.
Isn't that a shame? Did a lot of people, was there a great many people who died in the war? Did Rossi suffer like a lot
of
people?
Well, I think there was a lot of people died in 1918 on that flu epidemic.
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
Oh, yes,
why
that was a terrific year for the flu. And my sister, who was teaching school, she volunteered and went to nursing in it. And, I mean, she wasn't a nurse, but their people volunteered, and she volunteered and went someplace and working with it. And I can remember my mother and another good neighbor, Mrs. Breen, up the road nursing a lady up on the Mar Road who had it. Left a big family, and she died. So there were a lot of people died from that winter.
Mm-hmm.
And there were quite a few boys. There were Mackays, and I think there was a Brock, and I think there were different fellows around that died. My brother was lucky to come, that he came back. He was there from the whole bit of it.
Great.
The whole 4 years of the war.
I'm glad he came back. What other type of things would either do really damage to the population or either boost the population? Were there, you know, were there times that Rossi seemed to really flourish because of something or really?
Well, no, I don't think there's never been that many. We haven't had a lot of bad fires or anything like that. I don't.
What
think
are some of the fires that they had?
Well, the one I can remember is the Ballantyne House down on the Station Road,
mm-hmm.
and us all, of course, everybody flocked down to see it. And the Ballantyne girls lived there. They were two of the oldest people in the community, and they owned the beach down there at the park,
mm-hmm.
Sandy Beach, that we used to go down to. And they lived on the Station Road loop there, and those two, I think it was about two of the houses burnt that night or something. But other than that, I don't know. Getting the new fire engines was a big help. They had an old one, but
okay.
And it was a pretty antique.
Yes, why don't I ask you, Mr. Long, tell me a little bit about the fire station and the fire engines.
Radio in the house.
Well, the fire station was down
Murray House old
barbershop, just where the school is now, just in that far corner. We only had one engine, a little old Ford motor.
And who brought that in, do you know?
Well, I guess Jeff Sayre was the head.
Well, whoever got there first, I think.
And, we had a little radio. All the firemen had a little radio on their kitchen table going all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when the bell would ring down there, somebody would holler in the telephone and say where the fire was, and I got it right off the kitchen table on my radio.
Oh, I see.
So I had to run down to the fire department and take my old Ford car I had. And there was seven or eight of us there all the time. But we put mostly grass fires out. There wasn't any big fires in those days. And we had a boat for this, and up in Fairvale up there, across from Walter Banks, there was two boys out in their raft. They were fishing or playing on the raft. One of them fell in, and they called the fire department. Of course, there was three of us went in, and we went up. And I went up from Walter Banks and borrowed a canoe boat. I went out in the canoe. Another fellow and I got the young fellow out of the water. That was it. He was all right.
Now, the fire department was a lot of volunteers, wasn't it?
All volunteers, yes.
About how many people were involved in the fire department?
Oh, maybe 10 or 12 or 13 at the most.
I see. You mentioned your old Ford. When was the times that people started really getting cars around here? What years was that?
I just couldn't tell you.
You couldn't? Yeah. When was your first car in the air, do you remember?
I had an old Ford car. I couldn't tell you what year it was.
You couldn't, eh?
No.
Okay.
We went to Montreal for a while, and we went to Kingston, Ontario for a while.
I see. Okay. Well, let's get in.
1950s or 50s, I think. We were married in 35, so it was in the 1940s.
Say 40,
yeah. Sometime in the
1940s. Yes. I see. Do you recall anything about winter sports or skating or you know, like the winter travel around the area?
Well, a lot of the boys went out on the river and fished hake.
Oh, they
Some of them had the houses down off the wharf, and they would go out fishing. And I can remember the both of us going out on nighttime and fishing hake out there in this little hole with a lantern to pull them up with.
Oh, it must have been
kind of
cold.
Yeah. Well, you didn't mind inside the hut. You were dressed for it and everything.
Could have stove with the fire.
Yeah. And then they used to have ice boating on the river there, and we'd go down skating on the river. Didn't have the rinks then, so we went skating on the river.
I see. Can you recall of any tragedies on the river?
Oh, yes, there were some boys. I can remember people who lived on Almond Lane there. Their name was Winslow. And I can just remember us all going down because my sister was great friends with the Winslows. They went to school together. And the youngest boy had been out in a boat, and he was drowned in the little creek there, and they never didn't get it. They got his body later. And there have been quite a few then. That's why I never was very anxious to go on the river in a boat.
Yes,
a lot. There are a lot of boating now, but I think that the children today are taught better, you know, how to use them. But in those days, when you just went up in any old scow.
Yes, you didn't have the proper equipment and boats, probably. Did you ever swim off Rosse Wharf?
Oh, a few times. I wasn't that good a swimmer.
No? Oh, dear.
A few times.
There was a bulk of people who did that.
Yes, well, they did, and Sandy Beach and Cudlips Beach were the place that I used to live in, Sandy Beach.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go down there every day till I even got sick of looking at the water.
Where is Cudlips Beach? Is that still?
Cudlips Beach, you go through Rosse Park to that, and I think it's mostly private now. I don't think they're allowing any swimming.
But down by the
Canada. I don't think they allow any swimming on any of the beaches now.
No, I don't believe so. Although Sandy Beach was left for a long time. It just recently closed.
Right.
Was this owned by Rosse, the town of Rosse, or just private people let people swim there?
On the beaches? Well, I think in those days the children just went down and nobody bothered them. When the Cudlips lived there, they never bothered anybody on the beach. You know, they just came for the summers in that big house. They came from Montreal. And then down on the sea, on the one on Sandy Beach, there weren't that many houses there in those days, but since that it's got built up into quite a few homes.
Mm-hmm.
And of course you can see if people are going to litter the beach, they don't want, the people living there don't want them around, which spoils it.
Yes.
Rather.
I see, I would understand that. I want to talk a little bit about early days of motoring, like your flat tires and your winter driving. Were there a lot of trouble with changing tires and...
Well, no, it wasn't too bad.
No?
But you would get
on the old dusty,
tire.
Rumbly roads.
dirt roads, you see.
Yeah.
Was the main roads were all dirt roads?
They were all dirt. Jack them up, take the spare tire out, take them off, and your hands would get all dirty.
I see.
There's no garages around in those days to help you.
No? You, each person was their own mechanic.
Well, I think the first one that had a garage was Lee Sherwood across from the school down there. He was the first one that had the garage.
Kennedy
there.
Had one.
And Arthur Kennedy,
down back of
the Kennedy house, he had a big garage. And he used to be the town taxi, Arthur did.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, Arthur the son. And I mean, he was a wonderful fellow. Everybody thought the world of Arthur.
Did they?
something about Dr. Peters used to go across the river at nighttime.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about that.
About Dr. Peters?
Mm.
Oh, he was a great fellow.
Oh,
yeah. He's certainly different than doctors today. He traveled all over to Perry's Point, Clifton, and everywhere as he had to go. And I remember when my mother was sick here in later years, he used to sit up there by her bed and he'd tell her these stories, and I'd be fascinated by them. These
Why don't you share some with me?
Well, the only one I can remember is he told me he went over to Perry's Point or Clifton somewhere, and this young girl was having her baby, and it was her first baby, and he was having a pretty rough time with her. And the old mother was howling and rolling and making such a racket that finally he told the husband, he said, the young girl was in the house with her parents and her husband, and he told the husband, he says, you better take her out and lock her in the barn, he said, or I won't get anything done here today. I thought that was cool.
So he traveled across, as a mode of transportation, he traveled
across
the river.
Oh, just horse and buggy. He'd sleigh in the wintertime.
Did he have one horse or two horses?
I don't remember. I'd imagine probably he just had one horse. I think just one horse.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah. But he never refused.
He never turned people down.
No.
He must have been quite a hard worker.
Oh, he was.
Very caring person.
Yeah.
Now, Rossi's first fire engine, we mentioned a little bit about the Rossi first fire engine, but what was it like? And
it was just a little wee motor with a steamer on it, and there was four wheels and on a platform. And the janitor of the school down there was the captain of the fire department, Mr. Harrington.
Harrington.
Yeah.
And he used to drive it.
So there
the first one got there drove it.
There was no designated driver.
No, the first one got there drove it and up the road. It had a bell on it, a big bell, and you ring the bell like you're in the market.
So we've progressed now to a fire department and two or three engines.
Yes, we've really gone far. Okay. Now, I want to ask you a bit about train wrecks that happened.
Well, what I remember is that down here on the, I think we had a freshet.
Just below where the tennis court
below,
is.
We used to say that below the Indian hut. Below the
Indian
tennis court road. And there was about five or six cars off the road there. And I think they were out for quite a while. I don't know what.
Quite a mess over the tracks and everything.
Mm-hmm. Was anybody hurt?
Nobody hurt.
Nobody hurt.
No, there was no one hurt. But there was a great tension down there for days. Everybody was running down to see the train wreck. And before they've got the park roads fixed up, we used to have a lot of freshets. In the springtime, we'd be quite a freshet, and I can remember as a school kid walking down there when you'd just be almost walking in water. The water would be right up the railway tracks. But they built the roads up going into the park so that you don't have that now. We don't have the freshets.
What did the trains carry? Okay,
there was grain and most of your products in those days, because there wasn't the trucks on the road to carry things, so I think it was mostly...
And things from town.
Yes, deliveries. A lot of express and things from town, but the freight trains, I think, were likely going right through, more or less. I know that Mr. Kareet, who lived over at Rossi here on the Gondola Point Road, he brought in coal, and they leave the cars off down here at the Wharf Road and
Siding,
and he'd have men come and unload the coal. People would buy the coal and he'd unload the coal.
See. What about the last riverboat trip to Hampton? Did you
remember? Oh, there, I don't remember that one. No.
No?
No, I don't remember the riverboat.
Okay.
No, I don't remember it at all.
I remember the river going up to up towards Fredericton. I was on one once, but I never remember these up here. So I think it must have been
here. Before
I was able to go on a riverboat.
What were the riverboats like that you went on, or what were the boats?
Well,
like?
It was the one that, what was the name of it? I can't think of it now. Went up the river from St. John. You went over to Indian Town and took the boat up.
The Indian Town took the boat. I don't know the name.
Yeah, I forget the name now. But they used to bring all the strawberries and everything downriver from people's farms.
Vegetables.
And unload them there, you see, and people get them. And then I think it was on Sundays, they were pleasure trips. And people would go and go up the river on the boat and come back that night.
I see.
But I don't remember the...
Okay.
I know one old river boat they took up to Gondola Point and thought they were going to make a dance hall out of it, but it never came through.
That was the Purdy.
It was the Purdy.
It caught fire, burnt up there on the beach.
It finally burnt up there, but they were never able to do anything with it.
Wow, I see. Rossi's? I guess at once upon a time, the cattle grazed on the Rossi Common. Can you tell me a bit
yes,
about that?
Yes, Walter Wright. He had a fence all around the Common, and the D.D. Robertsons owned the Common then, and he rented it from them. They had his cattle there anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And for quite a few years before it was a Rossi Common.
I see.
Yeah.
So there must have been, were there quite a few cattle or just a couple?
Oh, there was, he must have had pretty near, but I can remember nearly a dozen cows.
Eight or ten anyway.
Yeah.
I see.
He was a carpenter in Rossi.
Who?
Walter Wright.
Mr. Wright?
Yeah, he was there across the railway track.
Oh, I see.
He's got two sons still living here.
What did the Robertsons do? They owned a lot of land.
They owned, well, they were people, they were descendants of the Ritchies, and the D.D. Robertsons and family lived on the hill down here, and there was, I can remember, four girls, I think it was, Grace and Sophie and Madge, and Madge and Sophie used to, after I was married, I worked at Ethel Collins' little craft shop down there, and she had a library, and they'd always come down for their murders. They're mystery books. They love to read mystery books.
Really?
And they'd read them so fast you wouldn't have to come in fast enough for the girls to read. But anyway, that's what they liked, and they were great workers for the church and things like that. And at the last of it, Miss Madge Robertson asked me, she was going blind, and she asked me if I would come in and once a month and write checks for her. So I used to go in and write up the checks for her.
What type of people were they?
Very people who stayed pretty much themselves, you know, and that, very nice people, you know, and they owned a little cottage at the end of the road there, and we lived in there once, and I used to love the brook going down by.
Oh, yeah.
We lived there for one spring until our house was ready here.
Now, that was a Joe Henderson house, wasn't it?
Joe Henderson? No.
No.
I don't know whether he built it or not. Now,
that's what I meant.
Oh, that could be. But the little cottage there, you mean? Yeah, it used to be for their chauffeur. In those days, they called him what? The drove horses.
Oh.
More or less their handyman, I guess.
One time we had a shoe repair shop there.
Yeah, there was a shoe repair.
At the cottage place?
Yeah, Mr. Yeah. McNichol. Had a shoe repair shop.
Oh, isn't that
interesting? Then he moved up to Fairvale.
And then it was rented to different people, as you mentioned there. Kelty Morton's, I think, lived there one time. And I don't know how many different people have lived there over the years. And at the last of it, Ethel Starr, who is now Ethel Starr, she was Ethel Collins, she had a craft shop there and library.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I had heard that. So it's been through quite a bit of a history.
There was quite a little history to that little house.
Now, did you ever know Joe Henderson?
Joe Henderson?
No, yes. I don't. Did you?
Joe
Henderson?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He was a house builder?
He had a great big workshop right down across the railway track there, and as you went into the park and the wharf.
He built
a lot of houses around here and employed a lot of men.
I see. So he was a very, very important person.
Oh, yes. He built and did a lot for it and did a lot of work on the church and different places like that. In fact, there was a piece about that not long ago. I don't know where we heard it. I guess in that book they wrote up on Rossi.
Yes.
And his daughter lives over on Uriel Henderson. She would remember a lot of this if you remember.
Yes,
Uriel McCracken, her husband, just died.
Yes, I
have
to meet her. What was Joe Henderson like as a person? What was his character?
He was a very quiet man and a very unassuming man, both he and his wife, you know, and they were great churchgoers. And,
very strong.
But very well-liked people, yes.
Great. Were you, either of you, or heard stories of fishing and shooting and camping on the river? Is there any stories going on about that?
We told you about the fishing.
And I lost my shack.
Camping, I don't remember the camping too much.
I lost my fishing
shack.
Maybe
they went over.
The wind blew it away.
The wind blew the fishing shack?
I installed my axe and shovel and fishing rod, yeah.
That's how you made your holes, with an axe? How'd you make your fishing holes?
An axe and a slice.
What's a slice? Can you describe that?
Slice
is
a sharp
hole with a sharp, 4 inches wide down the end, and you pull like that.
Oh, kind of like a pick that you'd move a rock with?
Pardon?
Is it like a pick that you'd use
yeah,
to move your rock with?
One end.
With
only
sharp.
Had a blade on one end.
I see.
As the camping, I think they used to have guides and perhaps Boy Scouts over on the Long Island across the river, but I don't know too much about the camping.
Yes, I heard that in my travels so far. Do you know very much about Jeff Kirsten's blacksmith shop?
Oh, goodness, he was a character.
What was he like? And what did he do with his blacksmith shop?
Well, I don't know. He's just a character, I guess. But, I mean, the old blacksmith shop, I can remember my father taking his horses down there to get the horseshoes and all. And it's just too bad they never kept that, I think.
Was it quite a unique place?
Oh, no, it was years old, but he always, you know, it was right across from Netherwood School. Right from Netherwood School gate there, just before you come to the Mackay houses. And, the blacksmith always is, you know, years ago when they had horses, was the center of a lot of things in the town. But, I mean, other than that, I don't think there was too much about the guy that I can remember. I can just remember going down there with my sisters because
what was the building like? It was old, as you said.
Just a little, it wasn't very much of a building, but the fire, what do they call it in it, to do the heat the things on.
Is that the house that you used to live in, is there now?
No, they tore the old house down and there's a new house there now.
Hmm. Activities at the Grove when General H.H. McLean was lieutenant. Indians around here, there were some at Sandy Beach named Dominic and Nellie Francis. Yeah. Basket weaving, lawn furniture, bows and arrows. Now, what's that entail? What were they doing? How did they, were they squatters?
Well, I guess the Indians in those days were allowed to. They're not like now reservations. They could go, and that's what I would think, squat where they felt like it, because they were down there for years. Mm-hmm. And then after that, they were up on the railway track at Fairvale someplace. So, I mean, nobody ever bothered them. Mm-hmm. So I feel that they must have been allowed in those days to just squat them.
Yeah. Now, they must have peddled their goods, did they?
Yes. Dominic, people were a little afraid of him because he was kind of a hunchback and he was rather ugly looking. And, kids, they were a little afraid of him. And then there was another big fellow called Laughing Louie.
Oh, what's he like?
He looked scary, but he wasn't really. He was at big hands and feet, and he'd start, I remember when I was in the post office, he'd come in one day, and one of the chaps there was talking to him about something, and he got laughing, and when he laughed, next thing I knew, he was down laying on the floor, laughing his head off.
Oh, so that's how he got his name.
I guess that's it. When he got laughing, he'd just get almost hysterical and
keep
on laughing.
And
Nellie, she did a lot of the baskets going around. The women seemed to be the ones, because she was the one made my son's bassinet for me.
Whoa.
Yeah, and they'd go around houses with these pretty baskets. In those days, people used a lot of baskets for shopping. There wasn't plastic bags.
What are the baskets made out of? Where?
They're made out of, I think, either ash. They mostly went out. I know they made... people cut their own wood in those days, and they made axe handles, and they were made out of ash. Now, I'm not sure about the strap, because it was all woven so thin. I'm not sure what kind of wood they used for that. Maybe the alder bush type of thing or something.
Oh, yes.
And they could go anywhere and cut what they wanted. Nobody ever bothered them.
Was Dominic and Nellie kind of in common law marriage? That was what the speculation was.
No, I don't know whether any of them were ever married or what they were.
Never
thought anything much about them. We just knew them from coming around the
town. Were there children, Indian children?
Yes, there were young children, but we didn't have too much, we didn't see the children that much. We didn't go that close to the camps themselves. We'd just see these others around Rossi and up at the store doing their shopping. And when we'd go to the beach, we'd just look over at them.
So it was kind of a things that people were nervous about.
Yeah, they were a little nervous and kind of left them alone, but they didn't do any harm to anybody.
No. Well, that's good. So they they made furniture, I guess, also.
Well, like benches. You didn't have chairs like you have now for your veranda and anything. They had these long benches that they made out of cedar poles and things, and they'd sell those, and along with the baskets and all different kinds of things like that. And axe handles, as I said, those are very much in demand in those days.
Yeah, I suppose so. Mm. Did they, so they were never any really frightened? They weren't misbehaving?
No, they never did any damage around the town, city, or village as it was then, or anything, or they never bothered people. They stayed very much to themselves, only when they went to Unless the boys went down and teased them. You know what boys are like.
Oh, yeah.
They may have gone down there and teased them a bit.
And get into some trouble.
Sure, there. Just see what they could stir up for excitement.
Okay. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add, or important stories or things you think that we've missed in our interview?
No, you were asking more about the difference I saw one time in the village from years ago, and there certainly is a lot of difference in that we've got sidewalks and fire patrol and police patrols and everything, and all those things which we didn't have years ago, and people in their homes have so many different things that they didn't have years ago. There used to be, when you asked me about the scriveners and carpenters, one of the scriveners used to have a ice cart that he'd go around, and people just had these ice boxes, which you had to dump the pans every day, you know?
Oh, yes.
And they'd bring these big cakes of ice into your house, and of course, the darn pan, you have to remember to dump the pan onto your ice box all the
yeah.
time. And they traveled all around the village with it. So, but and went down to the river and lakes and cut the ice mm-hmm. out, and packed it in sawdust and kept it, and then they'd peddle it around the summertime.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
So that things are much more modern today. All we do is go to the freezer or the
fridge
there, yes.
That's cool.
Or the fridge, no dumping of pans and things.
I see.
And I can't think of anything else right now that would pertain to history of the village.
Well, then I'd like to thank you and your husband very much for participating.
Well, I'm very pleased to talk to you. It's been very pleasant, Cynthia, and I wish you lots of luck in your future.
Thank you.
He says his name doesn't matter.
This is a mystery man, and he's going to tell us a little bit about the 8:30 train early in the morning going to town. What was that like?
It was very good. A lot of the men played cards going in. Other people read, and others just sat around and talked.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And how long would it take to get to town on that?
Well, it wouldn't take more than 15 minutes, I don't think. 15 to 20 minutes at the most. It's only 9 miles.
Yeah, because so it was considered. What do you remember about the Arthur Kennedy house?
Well, we stayed when we built this house. We stayed at Arthur Kennedy's house until the house was completed, and Mr. Kennedy ran the taxi service in Rossay, and he was very well liked. He also was a very good church attendant, and if I remember correctly, he used to go to the evening service, and quite often he was the only one person there.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. What, can you give me a description of him? Nobody's given me a description as physical.
Oh, well, he was average height. Oh dear. Wish I had a picture of him. I could show it to you. He was very, very friendly, and gave very, very good service in the taxi business. But that's about all I can tell. Early days of the Kennedy House was at one time was the telephone center. And Mrs. Kennedy was the telephone operator.
Oh.
That was long before our time, though. I guess that must have been the early days of the telephone.
Yeah. What can you tell about sailing on the river? You said you had memories.
Well, I used to sail a lot with Dr. Petrie. He had a schooner, and he used to anchor at the yacht club. And on Sundays, we usually sailed the Kennebecasis, usually sailing around Kennebecasis Island. We'd often stop at what they call Boy Scout Beach. You know, we'd go in for a swim, and we'd have our lunch or supper there.
Oh, wonderful. Mm-hmm. What other important things went on in Rossay?
Well, during the war, they had Red Cross fairs on the commons.
Oh, really?
To raise money.
What were they like?
Well, I don't know. Well, I mean, they had games of chance, and I think they sold lunches, and they had raffles. Dr. Petrie's daughter won a goat in a raffle, and when they took it home, why, they tethered it outside in the backyard, and the goat proceeded to eat up all the rose bushes.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know whether you're aware of it. A goat has no upper teeth. This has a very tough palate, like hard rubber.
Yes.
And it just chews with its lower. You knew that, did
yeah.
you?
Oh, yeah. Both my grandparents are farmers.
Oh, are farmers?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a lucky girl.
Well, yes,
on a farm.
I am. Mm-hmm. I am. the Red Cross had fairs, so it was kind of like a carnival-like situation.
Oh, I can't remember them having carnivals. My vague recollection was, you know, well, there'd be games of chance.
Yeah.
And mostly raffles, and then some place to eat.
Oh, how nice. What other events went on down on the commons, or church events, or what type of socials would go on in Lhasa?
Well, the church has always had a flower show each year. And in the early days, too, they used to have a rummage sale.
Oh, yeah.
People would take stuff they didn't want, take them down there, and they would sell them. And the flower show is still in existence. And they do very, very well. And then I think one of the church organizations, it's the Women's Association, usually have a tea every year, which they do remarkably well, raise money for the church.
Did you ever stay at Chatillon or was involved in
any? In Chatillon? No, I've never stayed. I think the most outstanding person to stay in Chatillon would be, Diefenbaker.
Yes, Mr. Ward had mentioned
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he mentioned to him. And in fact, the room that he used, it was always... was called, up until perhaps the new owners, always called the Diefenbaker room.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? So you've been in Rossay for quite a little while.
A little over 50 years.
I see. Well, how has it changed in your
opinion? Oh, there's more new houses going up all the time. When years gone by, if they put up one or two houses, that was almost considered a building boom, you know?
Yeah.
It grew very, very slowly, and I think it started to... pick up population about 15 years ago. See? That section up near the high school, above the high school, has developed, I think, in the last 5 years, and I think there's more houses up there than there is in the older section of St. John. Of course, the lots are smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah. We first came here, there's no houses along this road here at all, and there's a little house here, we used to call it, it's owned by Taylors, and the Taylors stayed there, and it was on Sunday, before they came, people used to bring their toboggans and sleds and used to go down the hill. That was a Sunday activity on that day.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. So you were involved in the sliding around the area.
Well, I didn't slide. I used to ski, that was all.
Were you involved with the Navy? Is that correct?
With what?
Were you involved in the Navy? Is that?
No, I was never. I sailed a lot, you know.
But
I was never involved in the Navy.
Oh, I see. And,
I think they interviewed me and they turned me down. I guess they thought I'd make a poor sailor.
Oh, I can't imagine that.
To drive on the river with their cars, more so than today, because today they realize, you know, the danger. But once a car was very near the minister's face and went through the ice, and I think one person drowned in it, and they eventually got the car to the surface. And other cars have gone down, not necessarily off Rossay, but now near Renforth Way.
Yeah.
It's a tricky place because certain spots of the river have what they call pressure ridges. See, and when the ice expands, one part buckles down. See, and then it separates. And quite often there's places where there are currents, and it doesn't freeze over at all. And I've gone on an ice boat we had, and have. You know, gone just over those places where the ice cracked. I never went through, but it was always danger. Another place it would hump up, and you had to avoid them. You had to go around them. There's very little ice boating done now, but Jeff Sayre had a nice boat, and I had a nice boat. We used to sail mostly in the early part of the winter before the snow got too deep, because when it got too deep, there was a drag on it, and the only other time you could sail is when spring approached and the snow melted, and then you had to freeze up at night. But that, in the springtime, was the dangerous part to sail, because that's the time when ice would weaken.
Yeah.
See? And for some reason or other, as the spring comes along, it takes more cold weather to freeze the water. I don't know why. But
oh, isn't that neat? Tell me about what an ice boat looks like.
What an ice boat looks like?
Yeah.
Rossay. We live on Rossay Road, down at the foot of Maiden Lane. And the biggest fire that took place in Rossay was when the Allison house burnt down. See? And it occurred late at night. And the fire engine went by our house, and I think most of the people in Rossay went to it, but I slept right through it. I didn't see it at all, so I missed the big fire.
Oh.
Now, Jane Starr was, before she was married, was Jane Crosby's. and they lived on the edge of Rossi Common. And she has told me that when she was young, they would look out their kitchen window, and her father would say, there's so-and-so, I forget his name, he's brought his cows down to graze in the common. And another thing about the common is rather interesting. At one time, it was to be divided in up into 25-foot building lots, you know, that make it quite small. But Mr. McAvity, who also lived on the edge of the common, he eventually bought the common, and that's why it remains as a common today. So it never got into the hands of the developers.
Oh, interesting.
The only thing I can tell you about the Grove is when General McLean lived there, they quite often had a band that used to play out on the grounds.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And eventually was sold, and then it stayed vacant for some time, and then I think the Stetson, I forget the name, people who bought it, and their son is now living there. That may not be correct, so you may as well not take that as the truth.
Okay.
I don't ask me if festivities for Visit Prince of Wales 1920. I only came here in 1936, riding through Ross St. Ruth from St. Stephen to Camp Sussex, making a recollection of RCS and everything.
Did you go to RCS?
No, my two sons went to RCS, and my two daughters went to Netherwood.
Were they ever into any kind of...
Different?
Did they ever tell you any stories about it?
Oh... Well, they were day pupils, and they used to walk from our house down over the brook and up to the woods every day.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to have a dog that, how he knew it, I don't know, but a few minutes before 12, he'd leave the house and go down and meet them in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
There was a great school, and I think it still is a great school, and I'll be sorry that, you know, if it ever closes, because I think it serves a very good purpose. When our boys went to school as a day boarder, we paid $400 a year. Now I understand the day boarder pays $5,000 a year, which shows you how much the cost has gone up. Of course,
oh,
that's 40 years ago. So everything's increased in price. In the 1930s, well, I was here after the Depression. Oh, man. Medical services by Dr. Peters. Well, I can tell you she seems to look like him.
Can you
kill her? And I think his name was...
There's some names there. Maybe it's one of the...
Name, Ben Parsmoten. Archie Norton. King Ty. Tom Bell. Madison M.P. Stark. Christy Thompson. Doris Taylor. Senior. Walter Ellis. So the one I think his name was Goldie. This is White House across the field, and that was, he lived there at one time. Have you got the machine on?
Sure do.
Yeah, all right. And he used to have, I don't think he had a car, I think he had a horse and buggy, and he did all the taxi service in Ross City. And no matter where he took you, his fee was always 25 cents. So he got the name of Quartermaster Goldie.
Oh my gosh, that's something I have never heard of.
That is.
Tell me.
Tom Bell lived on Maiden Lane. That's the road that you came up past Chatelon. And he was a nice gentleman. And he told me once, he said, you know, if you live long enough, you've got more friends in the graveyard than you have around you. And I always remember that remark.
Oh, my gosh. That is, I've heard somebody else say that.
Did you?
Know.
That's the stage I'm getting soon.
Oh, now.
I'm 83 now, you know. And
yeah.
You haven't got much longer to go. Percy Thompson now. Percy Thompson.